him and just your grace. We lift this time up in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Good morning, family. We are going to be in Acts 11 and 12. Now, Acts 11 is also a run-on from Acts 10, but it continues on from when Peter left Joppa and then went to see Cornelius, the centurion. So now, chapter 11, verse 1. Now the apostles and brethren who were in Judah heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter came up from Jerusalem, those from the circumcision contended with him, saying, "You have gone in to uncircumcised men and ate with them." But Peter explained, "It was to them in order from the beginning, saying, 'I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, and an object descended from descended like a great sheet, and let down from heaven by the four corners and came to me. And I observed it intently and considered. I saw four-legged animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying, 'Peter, kill and eat.' And I said, 'No, not so, Lord. For nothing common or unclean has at any time entered my mouth.' And the voice answered again from heaven and said, 'What God has cleansed, you must not call unclean.' Now this was done three times and was drawn back up into heaven. And at that moment, three men stood before the house where I was, having been sent to me from Caesarea. And the Spirit told me, 'Go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house.'" Now, for a Jew at that time, or even before, it was, you could not enter a Gentile's house. They were unclean. And you couldn't eat with them. Those were the rules that the rabbis had set up. God did not set that up. The rabbis did. But they took it very intently. In Acts 10, verse 34, he said, "Then Peter, opening his mouth, and this was after he had seen Cornelius and he had been to his house, he said, 'In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of all.'" We as Gentiles are accepted by Jesus Christ. We are not replacing Israel. We are not replacing the Jews. We are grafted in. Jesus told us we are grafted in with the Gentiles, and we are all one family now. It is such a blessing. So, I forgot where I was. I think it was verse 11. At that very moment, three men stood before the house where I was standing. We're back in chapter 11. And six brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house, who said to him, "Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter." This is the last time in Scripture that Peter is called Simon. God has spoken to him earlier saying, "Peter, rise." That is his name now. And this is the last time we see where he is spoken of as Simon. And he says, who will tell you words which you and all your household will be saved?" This is God speaking to Cornelius, a Gentile, a centurion, who was a godly man, a very godly man. He was very, he gave gifts to the Jews. He helped them out. He was very much with them. It's spoken a lot in chapter 10. And verse 15, and as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them and upon us at the beginning. Now, I don't know if they were speaking tongues. That's not mentioned here. But the Holy Spirit made Himself known. And I don't know how. We can only speculate. Then I remember the word of the Lord and how He said, John intended to baptize with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. But therefore God gave them the same gift He gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was, I need glasses, I'm sorry, folks. I'm good for now. Just ask for patience. Who am I that I could withstand God? And when they heard these things, they became silent and glorified God, and then said, "Then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life." So even the people from the circumcision, who were very adamant about staying separate from the Gentiles, even they are now saying, they're family. They're grafted in. Now, one of the things I was looking up is, what were the things that were unclean that they were not supposed to eat? And I went back to Leviticus 11. And some of the things that they were not allowed to eat, obviously birds of prey, ostriches, seagulls, that would be disgusting. Hawks, owls, screeching owls, but also certain types of seafood. If they had scales and fins, we could eat them. But can you imagine going through life and not having shrimp tacos? They were not allowed to eat bugs. However, they were allowed to eat locusts of any kind, destroying locusts of any kind, crickets of any kind, and grasshoppers. Well, John the Baptist, that's what he lived on. He lived on grasshoppers and locusts. So he was a righteous man, and he lived by the word. I don't suggest going out and eating locusts right now. It won't be good on tacos. So, chapter 11 of Acts, verse 19. Now we're going to do a complete switch. We're going with Barnabas and Saul now. Now, those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled to Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. And then some of them were men from Syria and Cyrene, who when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the word of Jesus. Now the Hellenists were the Greeks, but they also believed in God. They were Jews, but they also believed in Jesus. And there rose a dispute. Verse 20. And at the hand of the Lord was, the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. And the news of this came to the ears of the church of Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. Now Barnabas was a great man of God. His name means son of encouragement. We have guys like that here. We have ladies like that here. They are sons and daughters of encouragement. I'm not going to point anyone out, even though I'm looking at a bunch of them. That's what we are called to do. We're called to encourage. Some have a greater gift of encouragement than others, but we are all called to encourage. We're all called to spread the word. That's what we are called to do. In order to spread the word, you have to be in the word. And that's why we're going through the New Testament in the year. But I encourage everyone to read it. It literally will change your day. You start in the morning and your day will be so much brighter, even through the trials and tribulations. All right, I lost my place. There we go. Verse 23. So when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with the pursuit of heart, that they should continue with the Lord. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And for a whole year, they assembled the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. That's where we got our name, Christians, because we were followers of Christ. Some said it as a blessing and a compliment. Some said it as a derogatory term. But we are Christians. And they were there for a whole year. Now, Jesus had told them earlier in Acts, you will teach going out into the world. And God allowed the persecution to hit the people in Jerusalem, and they end up spreading out into the world. So the persecution, even though it's horrible, it's painful. It's needed because we need to get out. We need to trust God, and we need to get out and preach the word. And in us enduring persecution, people see that, and they believe. And that's such it's a tough blessing, but it is a blessing. All right, verse 27. And from these days, the prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. But one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world. And it happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did, and sent the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Again, it's one of those where a great famine goes out, but you have to depend on the Lord. I own a business. It is raining right now, and I have a window cleaning company. I have done all the interiors I can do. I cannot do exteriors because it's going to rain tomorrow. We got 2 days break, and then we got 4 days of rain. I'm depending on the Lord, and He has provided so well. I am absolutely shocked how well He has provided. There are a number of us, Doug, who owns a business. We own businesses, and we have to depend on the Lord. Everyone's job, we depend on the Lord, because we have that job, and it's a blessing that provides for us. God provides for us. So chapter 12, this is going to be kind of a rough one, but it's you can see God's hand speaking. Now about the time Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass the church, some in the church, he also killed James, the brother of John, with the sword, one of the sons of thunder. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of the unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Herod knew that he was, quote, a dangerous man, so he put a lot of soldiers on him. Two were chained at him at all times. And he was kept in a deep, dark portion of the prison. They had guards at the doors, numbered doors, and on the passageway, so Peter could not escape, or people come in and take him out. Peter therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two prisoners, or two soldiers, and guards before the door to keep the prison. Peter had a habit of, when it was time to pray, to sleep. he slept when Jesus was praying at the Garden of Gethsemane. He fell asleep three times, and God kept telling him, Jesus kept telling him, Peter, stay awake, pray. He's going to be brought before Herod. He's sleeping. Now, he could be sleeping because he was comforted in the Lord, that he knew he was going to be delivered one way or another. But he slept. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and the light shone in prison. And he struck Peter on the side, rising him up, Arise, Peter, and the chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, Gird yourself and tie on your sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, Put on your garment and follow me. And when he went out, he followed him, and he did not know that what was happening was by an angel, and that the angel was real. But he thought he was seeing a vision. And when he had gone past the first and second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads out to the city, and it opened for him, and by its own accord. And they went out, and he went down one street, and immediately the angel departed him. It was the quietest jailbreak of all time. Peter's asleep, and then he says, Wake up! Come on, let's go! And Peter is kind of dazed, and he gets up and he starts going out, and they start going through different sections of the prison. When I was a paramedic, I used to go into Soledad prison all the time to pick people up and take them out. We had to go through a lot of gates. They would check the ambulance top and bottom and inside before and after we left. Now, they're not going to check an ambulance here, but they are checking to make sure no one's leaving. Why all the guards were asleep is just by the divineness of God. And the gate opening by itself, it was, I'm sure it was not the lightest gate in the world. But to an angel, it is absolutely nothing. To God, it is just a piece of paper just opening up. So when they went out, they followed, let's see, where am I? Thank you. You guys are keeping up. So when Peter came to himself, he said, Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and was delivered to me from the hands of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people. And when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname is Mark. Now, this is John Mark. His father was Greek, but his mother was Jewish. According to Jewish law, that makes him Jewish. And he ended up becoming a disciple of Barnabas and Saul, and later, that's when those two split, is because John Mark was not mature enough in the Lord, and he couldn't handle the missionary work, and he couldn't take it, so he went back home. That's when Barnabas and Saul and, well, Paul split, and then later on, Paul says, John Mark, I need him. He's good for me. He's a good, godly man. So it just took time for him to mature and to grow. We've all been there. We've all been there. And then they were all gathered there praying. As Peter knocked on the door, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the door but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. She was so happy that she just completely lost control and ran back in and left him. Can you imagine Peter standing out there? Come on, people, open up, open up, open up. I'm here. I can't tell if the guards are coming. And then they said to her, You are beside yourself. Yet she kept insisting that it was so. And they said, It is his angel. They thought he'd already been killed, and that was his angel showing up, even though I don't know where in Scripture that is so. Now, Peter continued knocking, and then when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. And motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, go tell these things to James and to the brethren. Now, this James, I thought at first it was a son. It was one of the original 12, the son of Alphaeus. But it turns out it's Jesus' brother, James. So, and then he departed and went to another place. There were other hiding places for the disciples in Jerusalem. And they were kept very secret. And that's where a lot of the disciples stayed because of the persecution. And as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers about what had become of Peter. And then when Herod had searched for him and not found him, he examined the guards and commanded that they be put to death. And then he went from Judea down to Caesarea and stayed there. Now, losing a prisoner, you usually serve their term. But he just had him killed. And then he went to Caesarea. And Caesarea was a resort area, Pebble Beach or Puerto Vallarta or someplace like that. It was on the coastline. He decided, I'm going on vacation. And that's what he did. That's how cold-hearted he was. Pretty sad. But then we find out. Now Herod was very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon. And they came to him, and in one accord, having made Blastus, the king's personal aide, their friend, they asked for peace, and because the country was supplied with food by the king's country, he was making a profit from them. So he couldn't. I don't know why they were mad at him or why there was a disagreement, but he was making money from them, so he decided to make peace with them. So on a set day, Herod, arrayed in his royal clothes, sat on his throne and gave an oracle to them. And the people kept shouting, "The voice of a god, not of a man." And they kept chanting it, "The voice of a god, not a man." And immediately the angel of the Lord struck him. But he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died. And the word of God grew and multiplied. Now, I have seen videos lately of people who do not give glory to God. I saw a comedian, a lady comedian, Heather, that's all I know her name, and she's blaspheming God, and then all of a sudden, she hits the ground. She's passed out, and she suffered a concussion. There was a statesman in Turkey who was blaspheming Israel because of what was going on in Israel right now. God struck him right there, and he died right there in the chambers of their Senate. Brazil recently had a big parade, which they have every year. And instead of doing the regular parade, they had Satan beating up Jesus, and they took it through the streets, and they had angels and demons and Jesus just being beat up. On the way home, Satan was killed in a traffic accident. Brazil suffered tremendous. They had many storms, they had earthquakes, and hundreds of people lost their homes and people lost their lives. We cannot blaspheme God. If you do not have the fear of the Lord, you're in trouble. Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, those of us here, we know the Lord, but those around us may not. So, again, we need to tell them the word. We need to preach the word. Maybe it's just by the way you live. Sometimes that is the only way that people will see it. People see how I treat Gabriella. And I've had people tell me, I wish we had a marriage like you have. There's struggles. And she's an amazing woman. And I'm very blessed. So we'll finish up here. And Barnabas said to Saul, or Barnabas and Saul returned to Jerusalem. And when they fulfilled their mission, they also took with them John, whose surname was Mark. And That is the beginning of their ministry, and they will later head out, out into the mission field, and they will be traveling all throughout the Mediterranean. In a moment, we're going to serve communion. Robert's going to come up and the worship team, and they're going to play their beautiful music. But today, we're going to do things a little differently. We're going to have everyone go up, as we did a couple of weeks ago, go up and pick the communion up by yourself. Peter will go up and serve it, and he'll give the teaching on the communion. I know. Be careful, Peter. Yeah. But when Peter goes up and gets it set up, everyone can head on up. So let's lift up the word.